Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better. Hey guys, welcome back. It's the MI Ice Guys. We're fresh back from Finland and thought we'd just jump in the studio quick tonight, do a little season wrap up. We thought in our first segment we'd talk a little bit about just the season in general here in Michigan, how things went, how what we learned, some new tricks and gizmos and things that we've picked up here in the States. And then later on in the show, we're going to get into the big and heavy of the World Ice Fishing Championships. So, Steph,
hey,
what was the greatest item that you you discovered this year? New stuff here in the States while we were fishing. And you know, we did a lot of different things this year.
Well, we were able to get out earlier this year, so that was nice.
Yeah.
So I got out maybe about 2 weeks before Christmas, so that was pretty sweet. And under some shallow water bays and caught some nice crappie and got right into the fish. Thanks to my buddy Anthony hooking me up on a good spot.
Oh, Anthony seems to know the secret spots. We're probably not allowed to say what lake or...
Oh, I get a lot of help from a lot of guys that I fish the circuits with. So it helps when you got fingers out all over the state. Mm-hmm.
Fingering friends, that's always a good thing.
And yikes.
So, you know, there was... We got into some new jigs this year. I know that our guys from Caney got us into some new stuff. I know that you had your buddies over there got you up into the Captain America jigs.
Yep, Brantner jigs made me a whole line of jigs, and one happened to be my favorite. So
You got to be some kind of superstar to give you your own line of jigs.
Captain America jigs.
That was awesome. And I saw you using some of those as we were practicing and stuff, and they seemed to really, really pay off. Chad, what was your favorite new toy this year? Did you have one this year, or did you just freaking go fishing?
I bought a new fish finder.
Got a new fish finder?
A couple cameras and a drill.
Yeah, well, that's right.
New toys, but...
You got the new, you got your DeWalt, and so you joined the ranks of the drill guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got a new DeWalt, got the new 28 Vexlar, couple cameras from Aquaview.
I still have that 28, by the way.
Oh, well, I don't have it. I bought a 28, but Anthony has it.
Anthony has it, yeah. Anthony's probably still got Myron's drill, too. But.
Nope, he wanted that back stat.
Oh, all right. But,
yeah, you put fresh blades on it.
Doesn't have a cover now.
Yeah.
Hey, I crank those blades on it. They're good and tight.
Yep. There's no cover, though, to protect those blades.
So they're toast now.
Not my problem, man. There was a cover when I put it together.
They only had to be good for 2 days. So.
Yeah. Well, we got into some interesting fishing as we were plugging around this year, and it was a different year for us because we're a lot into our prep for fishing for the Worlds. And so it kind of changed our style that we were, the way we approached lakes, the way we looked at lakes. And we didn't go out just, as Steph and I like to say, meat fishing, just to pound them away. And you guys got to do a lot of tournament fishing this year. I think, Chad, you were probably out a little more than last year on the tournament circuit.
Yeah, I did all the tournaments this year. I think Anthony missed, what, one?
Missed one, but made up for it with the Midwest Open.
So we both did, what, 8 tournaments this year?
Mm-hmm.
9 counting Worlds, 10, you know, 10 counting tryouts. So.
And you both brought home some wood this year.
Yep. He got 2 firsts, I got a first and a second.
All right, cool. Well, guys, you know, there's going to be... you know, a lot of things coming up here, and you guys have made the transition into river fishing, right?
Yep, the steelhead have cometh.
And you guys are actually doing your own kind of thing now a little bit. And
yep, anybody wants to go, just send us an email.
Yeah, you can always use that Ask an MI Ice Guy as a way to get a hold of us. And we're going to probably, I think we're having a dinner meeting later tonight, talking about maybe even launching another website focusing on our summer fishing. Yep. So, guys, you're going to want to look forward to all that kind of stuff. Anything else you guys want to say about the season this year?
It was a great season, a nice long season, caught a lot of fish.
The fish were acting a little different, though. They weren't suspending as much as normal.
Yep, so if you had a tough time this year, maybe learned a lot. Hopefully next year will be a little easier, and they'll be kind of more like they usually are.
Yeah, I know that Steph and I usually got to go meat fishing over on Reed's Lake, and the day that we took you guys were hassling us about, are there any fish in this lake?
Well, I think it was the cold summer and then the long winter back-to-back. I think, you know, the fish just weren't up in the water column.
And I think that there probably something to do with that November snow that we had and then melted and gave an early runoff.
Yeah, all summer was cold, though, for a normal. I mean,
yeah.
It was colder than normal, so I don't think the water was that warm up there.
Yeah, so I think that, a lot of dynamics came into it. And I know that a lot of people were catching fish in different places than they normally did. So being flexible and being able to manipulate your equipment, your bait. I know that our plastics that we usually get away with murder with this year were probably only half as good as they normally are. We had to go to meet quite a bit. And now when you guys were fishing out of state, did you find similar changes out there, or was it just Michigan?
There was a lot of tough fishing.
There was a lot of tough fishing. The only spot that wasn't as tough, I would say, would probably be Montana.
Yeah, and everybody else thought it was really tough. We could catch fish at will there, and everybody else was struggling.
We ran plastics every day. I don't even think, neither one of us put bait on out there.
And we brought crazy stuff to try and never had to.
Well,
day one, we could catch them.
That's just awesome.
Yeah, it took me a couple hours, but he was right on it.
I remember when you guys left from world practice there the first of the year and went off on your month-long
journey.
It was a journey.
And the fishing widows were wondering if you were ever coming home.
Thank God.
I came home for a few days. Yeah. So did you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was home for after being gone a month.
It was quite an adventure. I remember taking that picture there in Escanaba of Chad sitting in his dad's truck there with all those schoolies on the dash. It was crazy.
There's probably like 30 rods there or something.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Well, hey, when we come back, we're going to get right into the report on how things went in Finland. So we're the MI Ice Guys. The ice map ain't going to do you a lot of good right now, but hey, keep the bookmark. We'll need it in the fall. We'll be right back. Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA. Hey, we're the MI Ice Guys, and we're fresh back from Finland, and we've got all four of us here today, and we had quite an adventure getting over there to Finland. That was a long trip. Now, we made the drive down. Chad, he jumped in with Uncle Myron and rode down, and Anthony and Steph and I and Kelly, we jumped in the Schmoheken wagon there and rode down to Chicago. And it was a real nice day to go down there and stuff, and we had a great pizza meal before we went. And then we went off to the airport and got us all signed in and went in and found our buddy Sean, who had flown down from Minneapolis.
Hurry up and wait.
Yep, he did a little hurry up and wait that day. But we had a cocktail with him, got a nice picture there in the airport, and then lined up and got on that big 747. Boy, that was a big plane.
With really small seats.
Really small, yeah.
Cattle section.
Next year, everybody donate a little more money so we can maybe get a little further closer to the front. I think we would have died like 5 or 10 minutes after everybody else if we crashed into the mountain. That plane was so big.
On the way back, me and Anthony would have been the last to die.
Yep. Yeah, you guys were way back there.
The last back. Two seats.
Yeah.
It was better that way, though.
Oh, it was great.
The way right back was great.
But we had an interesting, the plane did have a nice entertainment center, so we got to watch movies on the way over and some fun stuff like that. But, it is a long trip. What was that?
25 hours of straight traveling.
Yeah, on the way there. I think it was 30 on the way back.
No, it was 20, 25 just traveling on the way back, so it was probably like 23 on the way there.
Yeah.
Of nonstop. That's with not counting layovers, getting luggage, nothing. That's just moving.
Yeah.
So if any of you've got ideas about going to Finland, see if they can sedate you like they do in the movies.
It was planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yes. Give you guys a recap, after we drove to essentially Chicago to O'Hare there, then we got on a 747-800 and we flew for 9-plus hours to Frankfurt, Germany. We get to Frankfurt, Germany, it's bright early in the morning, so I had a beer. Mm-hmm. The guys went and they did a little money exchanging and got a bite to eat and stuff. And then we jumped on another plane from Frankfurt to Helsinki. And then in Helsinki, we found out that our buddy Sean's bag did not make it out of Chicago. And so that was a problem. And then we had to jump on a city bus, which was an adventure because we all kind of thought it was an express bus, but no, it stopped everywhere through the city.
45 times.
There were some cute little Finnish girls that got on there, yes. But I think most of them were underage.
Most of them were not. They overrate their women.
Yeah. So we were, positive side there, Chad. But anyway, we got over to the train station. And once we had established what train to get on, and we got on the train and realized they weren't that strict about seats, not like the airplane.
That was the best traveling part.
We got on there and relaxed. And I'll tell you, train travel, I shot a little video out the window because the countryside was really kind of nice. They had a bar car.
Yeah, we saw a moose on the way back, me and Anthony did.
Did you? I must have slept through that. I'm bummed.
Yeah, moose running across the field on the way back.
Cool. Yeah, the train ride was really nice. It's really smooth. And there in Europe, they've kind of structured their world around where the overpasses and underpasses for trains, so the trains don't have to go across crossings and things like that. So there's not a lot of bumps or anything. We had a real smooth ride all the way over to Kuopio.
Train was great.
Yeah, we had a couple of the one kid there from the Finnish military, he was really helpful in explaining to us, you're on the right train, and no, you don't have to change trains. We were a little up in the air about some of the details on that stuff, so it was a really kind of cool trip. And then we got to the train station in Kuopio and took a couple of minutes to figure out how to get the bus over to the hotel, but we finally found it. And a
couple of shuttle bus things, vans.
Had nice, big, kind of like Sprinter vans that you see here. Took us over to the hotel, and we got checked into the hotel and got settled in and had our first Finnish meal of fish.
We had fish every day.
Every day.
Every day, onions, every meal.
Every day.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner was
fish. Have good pizza in Finland, though.
Yeah, we had some good pizza later on in the evening.
Pizza was good.
Well, we had pizza two times?
Two, three times. I don't know. It was crazy.
Twice, yep.
And,
they deliver around midnight, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were real hospitable about that.
That was probably 11.
But under curfew. You know, so essentially we left on Saturday night in Chicago, and then we got into the hotel and settled in and everything on
Sunday night.
So, yeah, like Chad said, it was 25 hours, not counting layovers and stuff, of travel. It was a lot of travel. And bright and early on Monday morning, where were we? We were out on the ice. We jumped in a couple of taxis. And went over there to the North Bay the first time, right?
Yeah, one of them.
One of the bays.
One of the bays, yeah. Got to
I didn't know north from south, so day one, day two bay.
Yeah, that's we were on day two bay
yep.
The first day. And we had a little miscommunication between the organizers and our team captains about where we could fish the first day. So we got a little scolded and then had to move out into some different water.
The barren wasteland.
Barren wasteland. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to see us. They didn't want to let us see what was going on around the zones the first couple days.
Yeah,
not till Wednesday, the official practice days.
So we got a little practice in. Then later that afternoon, on Monday afternoon, we went over to that shipping channel there, kind of that turn basin, and got into some roach and bream there, and started having some fun and excitement there. Learned a few things, had the AquaView camera out, and figured out a couple of very interesting things.
Well, Steph caught us five new species, so did Anthony, I think, four or five new.
I tell you, catching those roach was an absolute blast. I mean, it was...
Nobody knows how much fun it really is.
It's like, I don't know. I mean, they weren't that big, but it was as fast as you could get down there, and it was like a new species every time. So, for me, every time I'd set the hook, I was just more excited to see what I had than...
And they do fight a little bit.
Yeah, yep. I had a couple decent ones. I didn't catch any pre-fishing like you did, the bigger ones that took a little drag, but it's fun. As fast as you get it down there, and then every now and then you hook a bream.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun to be had that day. And then we got back into the hotel, and then we went off to the banya. Or as in Finland, they call it the sauna. Big steam room, for those of you not savvy into the ways of the world. And we met up with a few of the Russians, the Kazakhs, a couple Mongolians.
The coolest teams there are.
Yeah, those guys were really hospitable. We did a little drinking, did a little diving in the lake.
Yep, you go steam in the sauna for as long as you can take it, and then you you run out to the hole that's in the lake, and you jump on in, and then you run back in.
Which is exactly as crazy as it sounds.
If you've never done it, though, you wouldn't know what it's like.
I think Anthony was addicted to it, because I think he went 3-4 times the first night.
Yeah, there was 4 times the first night, I believe.
Yeah, I did it 4 times.
But the Russian tea definitely helped out.
Yeah.
Russian tea comes in
or the
liters.
Russian milk.
Russian milk.
Some milk definitely worked good.
Yep. But it's we did it every day except for maybe one.
Yep. Yeah.
We made it to the Bonnie every day but one day.
Yep. It's just an awesome experience hanging out with those guys from different countries. Yep. And
we're all fishermen, so.
Yep. And getting to know them. And, you know, before I didn't really know what the heck was happening over in Russia or, to be honest, even cared that much. But now it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and a lot of them, you know, one of the big things that I noticed was that underlying was a lot of them always wanted to say, you know, hey, we're just fishing, to hell with politics. Yep. And they wanted to make it about the fishing and the camaraderie, and that was really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we trade and hang out more with the Russians than we do any other team.
Yep.
Russia, then Kazakhstan.
They were trading in with the Poland team this year. So
they
really
were fun guys.
Yeah, Poland was pretty good this year, too.
Yeah.
But then day two, we got out there, and we had some bright sunshine that day.
Yep.
And we were on what Chad calls day one basin.
Yep, we had a little better fishing that day, too. We got on some good fish for a while.
Yeah, we worked some different zones. Now, Steph and I got to take a walk that day.
Yeah, it was a good stroll with our Costas.
Yeah, we popped on our Costa sunglasses out in the bright sunshine and snow shine, as we call it in Michigan. And walked, as Steph's pedometer said, 20 kilometers that day.
What was your guys' Indian name?
Walks around zones. We walked and GPSed and took measurements and mapping and all kinds of stuff. It was quite a day. We did see the Finnish old ladies going for a swim, though.
Yeah, that was good.
I don't know if it was good, but...
Well. It was interesting because they weren't coming out of a banya and going swimming. They were just walking out and
They just go in the bathhouse and change,
do a few laps, and
then they'd walk down into the 30 some degree water and they would go swimming.
Jeez,
oh, they're crazy.
Oh, and
they would do a lap, get out and stretch, and then do another lap. I was like, really?
And they weren't like freaking out like it was cold. You know,
no.
Like when we ran out of the sauna and jumped in the.
It's not that cold because your body's so hot. Come on.
I mean, I remember Chad screaming at me, get in the water, get in the water. The next thing he said, get out of the water.
Get out.
Is he coming back up?
Well, you know, I was in the water.
It's like 13 feet deep there, and the ice is only about 5 feet away. So.
Well, you know, I'm a scuba diver. I get underwater. I enjoy it.
I don't even know if your head got wet.
Oh, I was way the hell underwater. When I jump in the water, I make a hole, buddy.
Yeah, they're gonna stop it.
I'm going down.
He's
buddy.
Going in.
So, but we had a really great time. It was a great experience getting to walk around. Steph and I snapped a considerable number of pictures about the real scenic nature of there. And we both said, "Boy, we'd like to go fishing here in the summer."
And we ate a lot of fish.
We did eat a lot of fish.
Oh my goodness! You we tried did. A lot of different fish dishes too.
Well, yeah. Some good, did. Some not so good, and a lot of onions.
Well,
the devil's fruit was abundant.
Oh, it was very abundant.
Now, when the third day, Wednesday, that we were there, we went out, and this was our first official day of practice, so we got to go near the zones.
Well, you guys did.
And Steph and I walked around zones again.
Mm-hmm. Watched people fish around the zones.
And we did a lot of our observing, and we took some depths and did a lot of work like that. But we also... got back to the hotel, and we had a very interesting soup that day. We had the minnow soup that day.
God. The minnow, no, it was onion soup with minnows in it. Let's not lie. It was onions and then minnows.
Yeah.
It was like a French onion without the cheese.
Pizza day.
No, it was double onion.
Double onion.
For those of you who haven't caught on, Chad just, you know, absolutely hates onions, and Anthony's right there on the bus with him. Steph and I, we eat anything. So we had a couple of bowls of
I
the,
saw some stuff that
soup.
Steph wasn't eating, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there was some stuff.
Breakfast fish.
The breakfast fish was a little salty.
A little salty was an understatement.
Oh, man, it was pure
but
salt.
But some of the food was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that reindeer salad we had the one night, that was really good.
Onions.
Yep.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I had two helpings. I took yours. But, you know, we had a couple of good days. Then, wasn't it Wednesday when we got over there to that Zony and got into the bigger bream?
Yep, I hooked a bream that day, and that's all I really have to say about that story. Came to the bottom of the ice. I got to see his face, and then he broke me off clean.
And it,
no, you broke him off clean.
No, he broke me off.
Get it right.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a very interesting thing for me to watch that to land these bream. And for those of you who haven't seen the pictures that we've been posting on Facebook and other places, these bream are much taller than the 4-inch holes that we're drawing. These bream, but are very a thin fish, so they fold up pretty well. And what we learned was the proper way to catch these big bream was to slide your sleeve up and reach down the hole and grab them.
Yeah. Or gaff them.
Or gaff them and slide them up through the hole. And they would fold up and slide right up. We saw some pretty good-sized bream come through a 4-inch hole.
The best way is to have a 5- or 6-inch auger.
Well, we only had prepared, one of those.
So we only had 4-inch augers.
Yeah. But, it was a very big learning experience for all of us on that. And then we had another day of practice out there where we explored other zones, and Steph and I walked around more zones, taking more depths and stuff. So we got to see a whole lot of those two basins in Kupio. And wasn't that picture day as well?
Yeah.
And that was when we got to take the big stroll through the middle of Kupio in our full ice gear, strolling down the streets. And it was kind of a sight to see 13 countries strolling around in town. It was quite a sight. Mm-hmm. But hey, we're going to wrap this one up as soon as Chad gets done playing with the microphone stands and stuff and playing the banjo over there. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how competition went. And we're the MI Ice Guys, podcasting hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State, and this time, all the world round. Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the Worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best. We're the MI Ice Guys, and we're right back. You know, the trip to Finland was a big learning experience, and we got into competition. Chad had told us about competition. Steph had observed it before, but for Anthony and I, it was a new thing. We'd heard the stories. We'd, tried to absorb as much as possible, but still, when you got out there that first day, that first morning, Anthony, was it, I mean, how were the butterflies?
Oh, my God. I've never experienced anything more intense in my life. My body didn't know what was going on as far as emotions were going. I didn't know if I wanted to run. I was going to cry. What was about to happen? But
then we got to our zone. Anthony and I were working together. So we get to our zone, and they start the bait inspection, and the arguments start.
Oh, there was a half-hour debate, at least a half-hour debate on exactly what the rules said and how much bait you could have. It was ground bait versus wet bait.
And it was between guys that don't natively speak English, and they were all telling each other that they don't understand English, and I'm trying to step up and say, well, I speak English pretty well.
Yeah, but you couldn't translate to the other countries that didn't understand it. And
yeah, they weren't going to listen to anybody. So it got pretty heated a couple of times, and I don't think that did a lot for the morale of the new guys. But then finally they sorted it out. They checked Anthony's bait and said, you're good to go. And I'm like, yes,
right.
We can read English. And they had him step into the zone, and we were ready to get off and go to the races. And we had made a plan that Anthony was going to go way down to one corner, and he got down there, and he was lonely.
All by myself down there. And as a tournament fisherman, you got to kind of have something to start on to know that, to be way away from the pack. Let's just say I was all by myself on an island, and I had to make an adjustment.
And so he did the smart thing. He boogied right back into the middle of the pack, which turned out to be the honey spot of the freaking zone. I mean, yep. He was right in the heart of the heat of everything.
My first hole, I ended up sitting in the whole heat.
And that would have been nice.
Yes. Yeah, and the guys, and it was kind of wild because, you know, Anthony's, what are they doing over there? What is it? Dude, you're in the middle and everybody's trying to get in your spot.
Yeah.
Don't leave it.
It was a really cool position to be in, that to be in the heat of it. And, you know, standing out in the outside the no man's zone where I was, hearing all the other coaches, you know, you'd hear in the foreign dialects and stuff of, you know, Americano, Americano.
Yep.
Anthony was the hot topic in our zone.
That was really exciting. I had a really fun time, and it was a great experience. All in all, I had Alexi in my zone, which you guys probably don't know Alexi, but he's the best in the world, and I got to see why.
Yeah, Alexi, at one point when he was yelling something about the Americano, and his coach said something back, and he just hollered back, "Impossible."
Yep. And then he got to work, and I've never seen fish come through a hole faster than what that guy was doing. Holy cow, do I got something to work to do.
He but was smooth. A machine.
And smooth, no wazzle.
Smooth, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I don't think he wadded up.
Did he use one rod?
Yeah.
How many did you use?
Me?
Yeah.
5 in the first hour of that heat, and I probably went through 2 more, so 7 altogether in that day.
Did one of them have enough line for the bottom?
You had to go there. Nope, one didn't. So
8 rods?
So 8 rods.
More bait, more bait.
Yep, more bring bait. Bring them up. Yep. Didn't work out, though, but, you know, Alexi.
I would have traded you because I could use. I didn't even need a fishing pole.
No. The guy who won the zone didn't even have a fish, and I probably had 5 or 6 by the time he even sat down and fished. So for me to get doubled up on in the last hour, I would say hour and a half, was quite an amazing thing for me to be able to see as a competition fisherman.
And for those of you know, at home, that you guys fish around Michigan here just like I do, and this whole concept of baiting a hole, of bottom baiting a hole,
bottom baiting,
and
chumming, if you will.
Well, we're not supposed to use that word.
I don't.
Top
no,
baiting.
It's legal in Michigan.
And so, you know, we were using a ground bait. Now, Chad, can you describe what ground bait consists of?
It's a lot of, like, what did you say, like a grains and bread mixtures and grain mixtures and some scents. Some scents. Yep. And
then some nutshells, I see, yeah, mixed in,
yep,
there.
Some little seeds. Mm-hmm. Just, it makes a cloud with some scent that they can, and then there's big enough particles that they can eat.
And you mix a few jockers in,
yep,
with it.
And you put a little bit of jockers, which now, are small bloodworms.
Small bloodworms, yeah. Yep. So, you know, you're mixing this stuff in and you're creating a bait cloud. You know, when we fish here in Michigan,
trying to create a feeding frenzy.
Yeah, in Michigan, we're looking for a bait cloud, a bait fish, because we target predatory fish quite a bit of time.
There's the big difference in what we do. We have power equipment. They could too, but we drill and we use our fish finders. We go to fish. They drill bait to bring fish to them. Mm-hmm. We fish completely opposite. We go to fish. They bring fish to them.
And so we were in a situation where we're, you know, fishing against the grain of what we normally do and using the palm rods. Now, I think that all of you not by now have seen on our Facebook pictures and some of the pictures and videos that we've posted on MI Ice Guys, these palm rods are not a big rod. Okay, we kind of all laugh when we see the guy with the 3-foot rod standing out away from his hole, and then we compare it to the photos of the guys with the palm rods that are 9-10 inches long.
Shark rods are 9 inches exactly.
That's a little delicate rod. And the indicators. Now, when we talk about an indicator, the closest thing we can describe in the U.S. is a spring bobber, but it's a spring bobber made out of a
Mylar film.
Mylar X-ray film. Heavy plastic film.
Light plastic.
It's light plastic.
It's very sensitive.
And for those of you who haven't watched the video that are interested about these palm rods, on the USA Ice Team Facebook page, they filmed a really good segment with our teammate Nick Schertz, where Nick is showing you how to match jig to indicator to line and how you want the action going on this stuff. And we're talking just, I mean, minuscule amounts of weight in difference and size of line and things like this. It's really a finesse fishing that, you know, we don't see here in the States. Now, just before we left, Chad and I, we were out on Englewright, and he's catching some fish on his palm rod, and I'm sitting over there with my freaking 18-inch spinning rod getting nothing. And he had to run, so he says, here, just use the palm rod. And I got addicted. And I got addicted to the point where when the Russians showed up with their rods to sell, I had money out, and I'm like, Chad, go buy me some rods, man. I need some gear here. So I'm going to be able to play with those next winter. Unfortunately, when we got home, there was no ice. So unless I lean off the side of Steph's boat or lay on the dock or something, I'm not going to get to play with the palm rods until next ice. But now, Chad, you had a really tough zone. You were up in one of the barren plains, as we described it.
There was like three or four holes that had fish in it.
Yeah.
I think three guys in my zone had more than 10 fish. I got lucky and had two bites and caught two fish, and that was it for 3 hours.
That makes for a long time.
It was. I drilled a lot of holes.
Yeah. I know Steph was telling me.
Zone for fish.
Steph had you running, checking. I mean, you guys made the big effort on that stuff, and that's the way those zones went.
Oh, yeah. Anthony found out.
Yep. I thought it was all roses.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about day two, but we need a sip of beer before that. We're the MII's guys, fresh back from Finland, podcasting hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State. It's soft now, but boys, we're going to all dream of fishing. Hey, guys. Jazz here from the MII's guys. I want to talk to you about K&E stopper lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff. Hey guys, welcome back. I got a special treat for you. When we were over there in Finland after day one, Uncle Myron and I got to sit down in the bar for a moment. I was doing some computer work and get some comments and thoughts from Uncle Myron. Uncle Myron is a two-time national champion. He's been on the world team a number of 2 years, I think 7 years. He was there in 2010 when they took the gold. And so I just wanted to share this little interview with you guys that Myron did for us while we were there in Finland. And we did this after day one, so things were really looking up at that point.
All right, I got Myron Gilbert here with me today, and we just completed day one of the World Ice Fishing Championships 2015. Myron, how you feel about today?
Well, I don't think they're laughing about us anymore. We're starting to really get our act together on this world competition. Pretty proud of all my teammates. Everybody's working as a team here. We're starting to really get things figured out how to really, really compete over here. Not just show up, but actually compete. And we got the fishermen, but there was other things that went with it. The spotters and all the background stuff that takes for us to compete. You know, to really be a threat here, because these are the best in the world. I always thought I was a pretty good fisherman until I met some. You know, that's what I tell all the new team guys. And you know, they get a little too much of themselves. You know, I've won a couple of national championships, and in the States, I've done about as well as any. But when I come over here, you're going against the best in the world. You know, you got the Ukrainians, the Latvians, the Russians. These guys can flat get it done. You know, mm-hmm. I got nothing but the utmost respect for them and their fish ability. You know, and we're on their turf. You know, we're coming from across the ocean and competing on fish they fish for on a daily basis, that we don't have that advantage. And we're starting to be able to understand the fish species and how they act and what's going on now. And it's really starting to show in our results.
You know, one of the things that surprised me today, I know you guys had told me about it, was the amount of measuring that went on.
Oh, competition, man.
People that were calling for measurements. And fortunately, I was spotting for Anthony, and he had his first hole, and everybody was measuring off of him. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, he got pretty lucky, because I don't ever get that lucky to drill the first hole and land on him. My forte is I got to scratch through the whole thing. Usually I don't ever get to land on him. I already know that. I accept it. But my hard work and effort keeping after it, just scratch right to the end. You know, you only got 3 hours. Move quick. Be after him. and, you know, being smart with your moves with your spotter, that I can make up some ground. Because we can, I can catch them, and it's all the guys on the team can catch them with the best in the world. But we have to be placed properly where the fish are. And, you know, it's just like real estate, man. You know, location, 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 where the fish are in a body of water. And we're understanding that better every time we tangle with these rascals. And today, you know, I'm not a bit surprised about our results. Could be a little better, you know, but, I mean, we're making leaps and bounds.
Yeah, we had a couple of guys got some really hard zones and a couple of guys that got some really, really bountiful zones.
Yep. But that is the way world competition is. You know, look at one zone, they're catching 16 pounds for the winning catch, and the other zone, it's like a pound and a half for a winning catch. You know, huge swings in the availability amount of fish in these zones, but that's world competition. And it's like golf, you know, you finish number one in that zone, that's still 1 point. You're looking for the low score in all this, you know, and it's an aggregate of the five guys, you know, and you'll have your checks and balances. But anybody that thinks that this is a real competition should actually come and watch it and, you know, check it out, because it is definitely, there is a whole bunch of strategies involved. You know, positioning, it's a chess game and a chess match, and you got to do it fast. There isn't none of this, well, I think I'm going to go over there and try it. By the time you think that, there's another guy already beat you. And if he gets you flagged out and you're not on the fish, you take it hard, you know. I mean, and then it costs the team, so you can't lily-dally. You have to be really quick with your decisions. Run. In fact, I ran through a guy's line and busted him off because I had to go back and apologize like two times, you know, and he still called me friends at the end. So we're like frenemies, but I did not do that intentionally. It was just something that happened, and I felt bad. You know, I wouldn't do that to another competitor.
I witnessed a bit of that myself today.
You know, there's quite a bit of gamesmanship going around, you know, and a lot of pride. You know, you're seeing the best in the world.
Yeah, I saw some guys that had some technique that I hadn't seen before, you know, and I've been working with you guys for a while, and it was some real impressive things there. So it was a really cool day. Now, what's the biggest thing you're looking forward to for tomorrow?
I think we're in fifth. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's our positioning here. And I think with a big day tomorrow, we can get a medal. And if the United States can medal overseas, that's been a goal of mine since I started this, because you got to be realistic. You're going against the very best in the world. We're going for first all the time. But for us, just the medal overseas would be a huge feather in our hat. Even a bronze medal would be, I'm telling you, you know, it shows we're up and coming. You know, we're learning our lessons and we're applying them. And each time we come, you know, I look at the first team that went to Poland, they got last, but they didn't have an idea, clue what they were getting into. And then each year we've added to our knowledge and our pool of knowledge. I've been to all of them but one. I've been to two in the United States, and all the overseas ones but one. And the knowledge I've gleaned, I've passed on to my team members each time, and I think it is extremely important, you know, to be able to do that, to prepare to you. We got some great young talent, and they can catch fish with the best of them, better than I can, but I can pass on my experience. You know, it's like the old dog, you know, passing on some experience here, what to expect, this is what to watch for. Don't let it be too big for you here, you know, and you'll be just fine. It could be a nice stabilizing force. I'd like to do a little better myself, but I already know in my zones it's going to be a scratch and a fight right to the bitter end, you know. There's no quit.
Well, I like the quote that one of the guys made this morning when we kind of were all asking each other about, were you satisfied with what zone you got? And he says, doesn't matter. They can't get away. They're all stuck in the same mess I am.
Exactly right. Now, don't let that bother you. Don't think you want to be. It doesn't really matter which one I get into. I'm going to take the conditions I'm faced with and rock and roll with it. And looking forward to tomorrow. And I got a lot of confidence in my teammates. I'm telling you, they're really picking me up and giving me something to really. I was pretty disappointed last year, you know. But this year, I got some guys that I have complete faith in. And we're, you know, I don't know. I'm just pretty dang happy here. I can see us making huge strides each time we come to one of these. It's not too big for us anymore.
Cool. Well, thanks, Myron. And for those of you guys listening, check out Myron. He charter captains in the summer and professionally ice fishes and pounds nails in the winter. So he's a good guy to know all the way around.
Well, I find him. I'm fishing year-round, and kind of construction's my hobby, but fishing's my passion. and I just do it for the sheer love of it, this ice fishing thing. Started off as a little lark, and I started making money at it. Next thing you know, I got this world competition bug, and I've won as much as anybody in the United States. But once I start this international thing here, it's a passion. I don't know, once you stand on the podium, the national anthem plays for you, and they drape a gold medal around your neck, tears stream down your face. That is a feeling that's indescribable, is all I can say. Highlight of my life when I got to pull that off once, and I'm striving to do it again.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, and we're going to be cutting this into our podcast, and we'll send you a link. You can share it with your buddies.
All righty. Good to everybody. Take care.
I can tell you guys that I had just an absolutely wonderful time hanging with Myron Gilbert. If you guys want to go fishing with a real pro, he is a charter captain. He fishes walleye on the east side in the spring. Then he transitions over to Ludington and puts on a great show. I mean, he's showmanship. He's a great captain. He's going to put you on good fish and stuff. Contact Myron Gilbert. Find him in Facebook. If you need help finding him, ask an MI Ice guy. We'd be more than happy to throw a little business towards Myron. He's been a mentor to so many of us that are just new on the team, and we all love hanging with Myron. So, hey, we're the MI Ice guys. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk day two when we're back. Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan. MI Ice guys, we're back. Day two of the World Ice Fishing Tournament was a little bit of a different story for us. We moved to the North Basin. If you guys have looked on the website, you've seen the map that they gave us separate zones. Now, Chad was telling us that that's kind of unusual to get separate zones for the 2 days. So the knowledge that you
just not
gained,
connected.
Wasn't carried over. But
the five zones weren't all in one area.
Yeah.
Right.
Both days they were split. Yeah.
And so we were in vastly different territories, vastly different kind of depths. Mm-hmm. One thing Steph and I observed as we were taking the depths is we were right along shipping channels, you know, where they dredge out. And that gave a lot of difference in depth, I think, outside the zones that wasn't exactly portrayed inside the zones.
Yeah, we found that out.
The hard way.
The hard way. So now, Chad, when you jumped into day two, you were in what zone?
E.
So you were up by the little windmill island there?
Yep. We thought there'd be a good shallow bite. We thought it was going to be a deep, deep zone, and it ended up being basically two corners, really small areas that were fairly deep, and then a big 10-foot flat that wasn't shallow enough to get the good perch, and it wasn't deep enough to do anything. So one corner where first and second place got, nobody else could get in.
Couldn't get in on it.
And the other corner was just, it was hit and miss, couple fish a hole, and then you had to move.
Now, one thing we want to remind you guys about is that when we're in the worlds, that there's a 5-meter rule.
From two flags.
So anybody that puts down a flag, like Chad jumps into the zone, he plants his flag, no other angler can come within a 5-meter radius of him. Now, he can function inside of that as long as he doesn't encroach on anybody else's 5 meters off of their flag. But that way, that's what he's describing when he says that nobody else could get into that area, into that hole, because these guys had protected it by placing their flag and had essentially isolated him out of the...
Everybody out.
Yeah, everybody out of the water where there was fish.
Corners and edges were key.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked briefly in a previous episode about the chess game of getting placement. And on day one, Anthony, he scored big. He got the king's position, and he held a good center position over the fish, and he was able to keep fish underneath him. And on day two, Chad had trouble keeping fish underneath him. It was
he had to work for him.
he did a lot of moving. How many holes did you end up drilling on day two?
I drilled a lot more on day one, but day two I'd just have to, I could get one or two fish a hole, one or two bites a hole, go to another hole, come back 5 minutes later, get one or two more, one or two more. It's just that you just couldn't keep them there to compete.
I'd have killed for two bites a hole.
You had two bites.
Well, I said a hole.
I don't want
think
hole,
not in three hours.
And it wasn't every time. So
now Anthony and I, we were assigned to a zone that was a center zone where, unfortunately, I was only able to get on one end or the other. And so I think I passed Steph like six times running around the end of the zone because when our zone started, it was a race. I mean, it ran back and forth, back and forth. And I had to take the long way around. And so Anthony would get to where he was going, following the pack, trying to find the fish, way before I could run all the way around the end of the zone and get to the other end. Now, I don't run as fast as Anthony either.
As soon as I'd get to the other end, everybody'd grab everything and run back to the other side.
Oh, my God. It was a yard sale all over the place.
And just one little spot where you couldn't get in, yep, got all the fish.
It was one edge of the line, and I'll never not have some real estate on the line again. That's all I can say about that.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then on the north line, there was only that one little corner where the guy from Mongolia.
Kazakhstan.
Oh, yep. Kazakhstan, yeah, where he was set up. And.
But we went down there 3-4 times, and he was the only guy getting them. So
that hole was small.
That hole, yep.
And so day two was very tough. Even Uncle Myron, he came up with a big zip.
He didn't even have a bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, Uncle Myron has two world or national championship rings. He was part of the world championship team in 2010.
Yeah.
Uncle Myron's a good fisherman. And it was a tough day, those zones. I mean, we went in there thinking that we had some deep spots in the zones, and it was a beach.
My 19 to 20 foot gradient drop ended up being a 6 foot hump. So it was definitely a lot different than we just kind of guessed about how the contour lines were going around the zone. So
now when Steph and I, we went around and did a lot of measuring. Now you guys ask, well, why didn't you measure the zones? Well, you're not allowed in the zones. All right. There's a margin or a border zone around the entire fishing area,
which was quite wide,
like 15 yards at least, would you say?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was very wide, so they kept us a good distance away from the competition zones where we went and took depths. And whoever laid that thing out laid it right along some dredged channels, so we got to measure deep stuff, and the guys had to fish shallow stuff. So it was a very drastic different change. So it was a tough day. We held our heads high, though, and went to the weigh-in and accepted the fact that we couldn't get on fish. And then we got to go to the closing ceremony, so we went back, had a few cocktails, and put on our blue blazers and red ties and
suits.
Went down and celebrated with our new friends and, for Chad, some old friends of, you know, the days they had, and had a great meal with the guys. The guys from Shark joined us, and we had some more of that reindeer salad. That was good stuff. And then the really fun part started, where we all got to hang out with the other guys. We went back down to the sauna for a while and got some Russian kapusta. That was good stuff. Now, I know that's not you guys' thing there. It's too close to the devil's food.
I can eat. They made me try it.
I can eat cabbage.
Yeah.
It was kind of a pickled cabbage slaw that was really tasty. I liked it. It went really well with Russian vodka.
Yeah, you need a chaser, it'll cut it.
And so we did a little more sauna, and then they kicked us out pretty early that night. So we had to go back to the rooms and do a little party in there, where you guys got to swap some jerseys. That was really cool. Oh, yeah. You guys came home with Russian jerseys?
Yep.
I got two of them. I got the head coach for right now, and then I got the up and coming head trainer's jersey for the second time.
Can you pronounce their names?
It's Sergey something. It's like Kornishkov or something. I'd have to look at it, but yeah, it's Sergey. It's a tradition for me and him, I guess he said, so. We both have two of each other.
It was really cool hanging out with those guys. It was just a fun time. And even as we walked back, all the room doors were open. Everybody was very hospitable and stuff. We had a great time.
Anthony got some pretty good stuff.
I got some cool stuff. I got some Russian-made, handmade feeders and a couple cool shirts. Traded for a jersey against the guy that I went up against on day one. Day two, the kid in my zone from Russia ended up winning the individual gold medal too. Little Spider-Man.
Little Spider-Man was really cool.
Yep, he was very cool. Very cool. And our Russian buddies actually ended up winning bronze all together as a team. So
yeah.
Their head coach is offering to coach us in a couple of years. So we're cool. We're crossing our fingers, see if we can't get that figured out.
You're going over there for some training.
Oh, we don't care because he's coached for more medals than anybody ever. So
well, they invited us to St. Petersburg, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll go.
Training.
I'll go. It was cool.
That'd be a blast.
We had a riot. We drank a lot of vodka.
There is no experience like being on the world team and going over there. You know, I've fished a lot of tournaments.
I try to explain it, and it's just you can't even explain it.
Yeah, for those of you that, you know, have followed us on the Facebook, have followed us in MI Ice Guys, maybe even subscribe to our special world feed, the pictures don't even tell a third of the story. It was just amazing how much, you know, you learned with that. Even the days that we went out shopping for equipment, you know, we went to the Derek's room there, our friend from the Polish team. He got us these feeders. He got us some indicators, some jigs.
Some awesome. It was great jigs,
stuff. Yeah. Little Spider-Man even gave me some jigs. That was kind of cool.
I know. I got you some jigs from Little Spider-Man.
Hey, you're my pal, man.
Traded a couple Captain Americas, and he comes back, here, Chaz.
And he gives him the Chaz. It was great. And Anthony's like, who am I?
I'm like, okay. He's like, this is my absolute favorite. This is what I won, my personal. I don't know what he won with it. I couldn't understand what he was trying to tell you, but he won an awesome. Don't lose that jig is what I'm telling you.
Oh, I got it saved. I got it saved straight away. So, guys, you know, then we had our trip back. We had a short night. I don't know what we slept, 2-3 hours. I think I slept more soundly than anybody.
A lot of banya.
I did a lot of tea and milk.
Some tea, little some milk. Tea.
And so, you know, I, you know, where the other guys, Chad was sipping on vodka because he's done this before. They poured me a glass of vodka. I drank it. You know, that's how I party.
You learn. You do about the first 6 to 10 and then you slow down because they put you to sleep, right?
Well, I slept sound. And then
we don't know if Anthony did.
Oh yeah, I slept great.
Well, somebody said time to go to the train
while you're doing it too.
Somebody said time to go to the train. I got up, got ready, out the door we went.
There's no chasing like a little.
Thankfully, you packed before we started.
Yes, I packed before we started drinking. Yes. That's probably why I paced
myself a little bit more. I had to pack in the morning.
Well, and Becca wasn't there to do it for me.
You should see it's still not even unpacked. My clothes bag is, but the other one, I basically just shoved stuff in. Opened it and threw it all in.
It was crazy. And then we had the train ride back.
We don't need to talk about that. And it's horrible.
Yeah, another almost 30 hours of travel. It was crazy too. And... But, you know, I'd do it again.
I'm going to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, going to these other parts of the world and fishing with those guys is just such an adventure that I hope that all of you guys have gained some fun out of watching and listening to us as we've gone on this adventure. It's something I'll treasure for all my life. It's fun and it's addictive.
Yeah, you never forget.
We try to share the experience with them.
And hopefully, maybe, you know, we'll get more internet that we can upload more things. I'm going to have to start shooting in lower res videos so they'll actually upload.
Upload a little quicker. Upload was horrible over there.
Kelly and I learned that the upload speeds were just absolutely terrible. But anyway, guys, thanks again for another great season of walking on water with us, remembering our heritage, and one of the biggest passions that we all have is ice fishing. We've all stayed dry this year, had a wonderful year. We're the MI Ice Guys signing out for another season. We'll talk to you in the fall.
Yep.
Definitely.
Steelhead, then Sam a season, then back to ice.
keep them Amen. Lines tight, and we'll see you later.
Tight lines. MI Ice Guys, podcasting hard water fishing in the Great Lakes state that we call home.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.